Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, and on Friday, we think about what really matters on the What It Takes Radio Network.
The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Jenios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
Taking pressure off. It can make all the difference in the world in retirement. I'm going to talk about that today. It's what really matters, and we start now. And welcome to What Really Matters. This is your host, Peter McClellan, so often joined by Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management, but not today. He's traveling. He's a busy guy these days, I tell you. I wish him all the best. I know he's doing some great things. At any rate, I always love to share what's going on in my world as I meet with financial planning clients. And of course, I never use names. I never describe anybody in particular. But one of the things that I'm seeing, I really see a strong correlation with this in terms of the overall sense of calm that people enjoy in retirement and the overall sense of angst that's not being enjoyed ever, whether you're in retirement or not. And I think some of the things that are happening here, I think people are buying into some assumptions that are very, very destined to cause angst at some point. And what I'm getting at is, when I say take pressure off, I'm referring to the withdrawals that people take from their accounts in retirement. Now, you might think, well, Peter, wait a minute. It's a retirement account. Shouldn't I be taking it? Don't I have to take it? Isn't it what I save for? Yes. But it does not mean that you have to take money out at such a rate that you wind up hurting yourself. And what I mean by that, too, is just to say, let's say you go into retirement like so many people do with, maybe they're married, they each have Social Security. Maybe there's a pension from some time back where somebody worked for a company that actually provided one. Maybe one spouse is doing some part-time work that they really enjoy, and if their health continues to be good, they're going to keep doing that for quite some time. So you look at that and you figure, all right, what does all of that cover? And if that is the part that's covering the basic expenses, day-to-day living expenses, then I'd have to say you don't really have to have a lot of pressure on your investments, because if that's what's, you know, keeping you going, you're good. Now, most people are going to need a little bit more than what they're going to get just from Social Security and work, part-time work, especially if they're retired. And let's face it, pensions, by and large, have been going away for quite some time. They're just not as prevalent today, not as not as significant as they once were. If people do have one, it's typically frozen. It's much less percentage-wise than what they'd hoped it would be when they first started. But by and large, many companies have completely done away with what we call defined benefit plans. So what that means is a lot of people unknowingly have kind of gone onto the assumption, well, I'll just draw out of my account. Now, here's where I'm at with this. I am convinced there are things that we do in retirement that particularly show up that make, at some point, really make life stressful. I've said it before, and I think I catch a lot of flack for this, but I'm a big fan of trying to mitigate risk where you can and taking risk off the table where you can when there really is no inherent value of assuming more risk. And here's where I'm going with this. If you are comfortable with a certain amount of income and you really don't have to take much money out of your account, and you get this harebrained idea, this idea, we got to get the new house. All right, you want a new house, God bless you. But if you're retired and you are now taking on a mortgage, now again, I know it doesn't always mean a new house may mean downsizing, may mean some more money to, after the house sells, to downsize with and put into an investment or a cash reserve or something, you know, kind of better your financial strength. That's great. So often I'm seeing the opposite, though. I'm seeing people enter retirement with a mortgage. And they'll rationalize it and say, well, it's such a great place. We're going to love it. The grandkids are going to love it. And it's so convenient, da-da-da-da-da, all these great things. And that all may be true. I don't doubt that. But here's where I'm going with this. If in that mix you buy that house, and it's, again, there is no condemnation about buying a house or having a mortgage, and no condemnation here from having a mortgage in retirement, as an example, okay? Just saying something that would demand much of your cash flow or a significant amount of cash flow each and every month. For some people, it's peanuts. They might have a very modest mortgage, and I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you're depending on the, you know, you're taking out a big mortgage to perhaps be in a place that you can't really afford, but you're convincing yourself it's such a great deal. It's not a great deal, if you know what I'm saying. Meaning that house probably owns you if it's something that's causing you stress, if you're worrying about it. If, well, we're in good times now, what if the market turns down? What if the economy goes sour? What? Like, we're never going to have a recession again? We're never going to have a bear market again? I mean, it might seem after these 8 years of up, up, up and away that, you know, never a bear market. No, you listen to any of Jeff's podcasts and my conversations with him, he'll be the first to remind people that, yeah, what goes up comes down. It'll go back up again, but will the people be on board? That's the question. But here's the thing I want to address is, are you taking any steps to diminish your demand on that money, that monthly demand on the portfolio of your investments? Now, I don't think it's bad to have a draw on your investments. I think two things that I'm seeing. Number one, if you're drawing a significant amount monthly on a traditional buy and hold portfolio, and a buy and hold portfolio is one that we'll say, just in general, you know, again, it's very, very generically speaking, is one that's comprised primarily of stocks, some bonds, some cash, maybe some other things, but it's basically a portfolio that, let's just say, in this bull market of the past 8 years, in which the S&P 500 has exceeded 250% of its a gain from where it was 8 years ago, it's done pretty well. For the most part, you haven't, maybe with the other portions, done as well, and you haven't gotten all of it, because hopefully you're not just in the S&P, because that's, you know, kind of reckless if you are. But nevertheless, you've done pretty well. But that portfolio, that moderate portfolio, in fact, one argued years ago that a 60-40 blend, 60% stocks or stock funds and 40% bonds or bond funds, was actually considered kind of on the conservative side, very, very moderate, very prudent. 2008 taught us that that really isn't a wise assumption. And I still see people doing this with even greater percentages in the stock funds. And to their credit, they've had the chutzpah to do it. Good for them. They've made money. But if you're drawing money out, think about it. Because moderate portfolios, many of them lost about half their value, in some cases at least that much, back in 2008, going into 2009. So that means that if you were taking, if somebody was saying, well, I can handle, I'm going to draw 7% off of my account. Just 7%. Well, what does that mean if your account gets cut in half and you're taking the same dollar amount out? It means you're suddenly not taking just out 7 and not just 10, not even 12. It means you're taking out 14% when the market goes down. And you might say to me, Peter, you're a broken record. You're talking about the market going down like it's going to happen tomorrow. Probably not going to happen tomorrow. It might, but I'm not saying that. But chances are, if you live your life expectancy, longevity has gone up. And that's something, folks, you got to realize this. This is real. People are living longer. Just got a call from a client today who's ecstatic because the last time I saw him and his wife a few months ago, I thought it was the last time I would see her. She had some bone cancer. And the good news is this new drug was new process, whatever it is, I don't know what it was, and I'm not going to quote it because people go out and buy the stock as if it's the only thing to do now, but definitely, she's got zero of the cancer cells completely gone. Now, will it be in remission forever? I have no idea. what's the you know, prognosis? I don't know, but it sure is a pretty cool thing because it was her last shot and it worked, and I'm just delighted for them. Now, there's an example though on so many fronts, whether it's stents in your heart, in your arteries, whether it's, you know, curing cancer, you know, whatever, people are living longer. So on the one hand, you might say, well, so what if the market goes down for a couple of years and then it'll come back up? Yeah, but if all the while you're drawing money out too much, you're going to really hurt yourself. Because just as when you're putting money in, when you're saving, you know, when the market goes down, it's a sale. It's a great time to buy when the market's dropping. But when it's going down, 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 and you're drawing out, 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 you're exacerbating that decline. You're making that decline a boatload worse. And that's not fun and it's not good. And if you're doing that consistently because you're tied to something like a mortgage or an expense on a new car or whatever it might be, you know, it could be something as simple, and I've seen this too, because I'm a married man, and I know that as much as my wife and I, we agree, there are times we don't see exactly eye to eye on some things. And I would imagine that's the case in just about every marriage. But I'd say this too, if you are not in at all agreement about what you are going to spend in retirement, pause. Do not go into retirement. You mean delay my retirement? Yep. Because if you're not even in agreement on what you're going to spend and you're not seriously looking at that, that's going to be a huge problem. You don't need an extra mortgage if one partner is spending beyond what you have coming in each month, assuming like, well, this is what we've had all our lives. We can do this. No. When you retire, maybe you can if you've saved enough and you have enough and you've got the pensions and Social Security and the part-time work and everything's paid for. Great. But that isn't everybody. And I see people trying to do what other people are doing as if they have the wherewithal when they don't. And I'm saying that if you're putting a lot of pressure on your portfolio, you're retired, and you don't have it in something that's going to either A, provide some type of risk management to mitigate that risk, to mitigate the losses that the market could inflict on you. And it's not, again, that's not guaranteed, but it could. There could be some, and I won't get into the guarantees, but there are a way to guarantee income as well. And I get in trouble for talking about that, but there are things that you can do. It means you don't have the upside, you know, but there's things you could do to stabilize and take control and make sure that you're covering your essential expenses, taking pressure off. Retirement is not a time when you want to add pressure to your portfolio, when you want to add pressure, forget your portfolio for a minute, to your life, to your sense of well-being. And you might think, well, aren't you a man of faith? Don't you have faith that things will work out? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. But I don't necessarily have faith in everyone's sense of good judgment. And I'm just saying, it's not wise to put too much weight onto something that's going to give way at some point. And if that's what you're in, traditional buy and hold portfolio, market up, market down. When the market goes down, and it will go down, there will be another recession at some point. I'm not saying it's coming tomorrow. Please hear that. I know I've said it before. I'm not. What I'm saying is it's imperative that you don't put too much pressure on the assets. Take pressure off. And you can do that in a number of ways. If you're not yet retired and you're not yet in agreement with your spouse, if you're married, hold off till you come to agreement. I would do that. Don't do things like a new mortgage if it doesn't fit. Meaning, if it's a very, very modest part of your cash flow, so what? You know, big deal. You could do that. Not a big deal. But if it's something that you have to stretch to do in retirement, it's really kind of a stretch. You really can't do it comfortably. No, doesn't fit. I'm sorry. If it doesn't fit, don't do it. But I want it so bad. Well, yeah, I'm sorry you want it so bad, but maybe there's something else that's even better out there and you're just looking at it the wrong way. You know, we get all sold on something being, this is the best possible solution that could ever be. You know, no, it very well may not be. You want the house to be a blessing to you and everybody involved, not a curse. And it's a curse when things that you're assuming they're going to work out continue to work out just the way they've been working out, when that suddenly changes and the economy does go down and the market goes down, the value of your accounts goes down and you're accelerating the decrease in value by exorbitant withdrawals, not wise. So I'd say this to you. In summary, take the pressure off on any number of fronts. If you want to talk to somebody who's dealing with this constantly, with people who are doing it successfully, people who are struggling, people who are trying to improve, and many are, talk to me. Give me a call. My number is 952-882-0400. Peter McClellan of the 401k Latte Company. If you haven't explored the merits of active money management, I just got to say, it's really good stuff. I know I have to be careful what I say because it's not guaranteed and past performance doesn't guarantee future results. That is true. But there's a degree of sanity in active money management that I just find incredibly valuable because I've seen the insanity. I've seen people on one occasion being, let's go for growth. Come on, we can do it. Like, this is exciting. Going to make a ton of money. And those same people who were all gung-ho are some of the first that came unglued when the market went south. And they were acting as if it was never going to happen. And it did. Here's my point. If you've not explored the merits of active money management, check out Strategic Equity Management. Go to Jeff's blog, Jeff Hyback's blog. It's semtradersblog.com. And check out the things he's writing about because he's really hitting, lately he's been hitting on this behavioral stuff. It is exactly what we need to hear. It's not what we want to hear sometimes. We want to hear that we're always going to be 100% rational. And yet, you know as well as I do, there are moments, there are things that can bring us to a place where we are not acting in any way that remotely resembles rational. It's called being a human being, and we're human, right? So I know, from New Jersey, I don't say human the way everybody here in the Midwest does, but we're human. And anyway, I'm going on and on here. Check out his blog, give us a call. And we have a tagline at the 401k Latte Company. We like to say, invest in a conversation. Invest in that conversation about taking the pressure off. You'll be glad you did.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.